morning, Betty. I'm Juicy.
Good morning, Char.
Might be Nancy.
Nancy.
Good morning.
Morning.
Are you?
Good.
Good. Echo.
Echo, echo. Just the two of you here?
I think so.
Okay. It's pouring here right now.
We have rain, too. How about that?
I mean, it's really coming
showers.
Down.
Showers. No, ours is just showers.
Yeah. It's pooling on my patio outside the kitchen, interestingly.
Oh, the seminar is in Johnstown, and that should be about 5 hours from you, Nancy, so not too bad. And I don't know how far that is. It's east of, just east of Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
I looked it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's east of Betty.
Yeah, and it's way up from, what the one is that they did in Portland. Now I laid it. Anyway, it's the 3rd through the 7th.
Of September?
I think it was September. Maybe it's later. Anyway, it's got McDougal and one of the chefs that's written a couple of books, Colleen, I can't think of her last name. Anyway, I think I carried the whole stack upstairs. I'll go up and get it in a little bit. Gotta get the wheat grass finished. But anyway, it sounded like a really good one. It runs from the 7th, so that's 5 days, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. That's 5 days running. I've never seen one listed that big, that long.
No.
So it would be, you know, it'd be real interesting, the lineup of the speakers. They've only got about 7 listed, but they normally have a lot more than that that are, well, the way ours is run anyway. I don't know how that one's run.
I wonder if Ethel said I'll be there.
He wasn't on the list. And, you know, each year it's different ones. And I've noticed it, but I haven't paid that much attention to it because we were never, you know, anywhere near there at that time of the year. Unless we were busy with the, we weren't even.
Mary Lou. So it's next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's right because the magazine it was in, I think, was available longer than that. So I'll go look as soon as I get through running this. Denny's waiting to leave, so.
Or it's a week from next week, actually.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that close now that I say it. It's in it's not the regular monthly magazine. It's in the special issue that is on display until November something. So it could be because it's been out for a while.
So it's a special issue or the regular? Did you say?
No, it's a special issue. It's the one for, like, healing foods.
Okay.
That's put out by Veggie Times.
Okay.
But I'm not saying it's never been on the cover of the other ones. I think it's on the back cover of the back page, one or the other.
And I haven't seen an email come from Veggie Times on it. Have you, Betty?
No.
In that area, sort of?
No, I haven't either. So, you know, I don't.
Since we're more in the vicinity than you. Then you would think they would almost maybe send it to people in the surrounding area.
Hey.
I don't know. Oh, well. A couple other people. Go ahead, Char.
No, I was going to say, I'll get it for you as soon as I'm through.
A couple other people, come on.
Mary Lou, good morning. Sorry I'm late.
How are you, Mary Lou?
Okay.
Anyone else want to say hello?
Good morning. This is Anita.
Good morning. How are you?
All right.
Good morning. This is Elaine.
I'm sorry. Is that Elaine?
Yes, Elaine. Uh-huh.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good to hear you as a regular now.
Yes,
anybody have any questions, thoughts, or concerns?
No, but I did pull something off of somebody had posted on Facebook. It says, please share it. It says, have you ever noticed that there's a distinct color at the bottom of each toothpaste tube? And for those people who use regular toothpaste anyway, do you know the meaning of it?
Those are you talking about on the outside of the tube or at the end of the tube from squeezing?
No, yeah, down at the end of the tube where you normally would squeeze it, there's a little color bar down there. And dentists always give you a little sample, so I looked at the one that I was going to pass on to somebody else, and it does have a little color square down there. Anyway, if the little square is green, it's natural. If it's blue, it's natural plus medicine. If it's red, it's natural plus chemical composition. If it's black, it's pure chemical.
Oh my.
I was going to say the little tube I got in there was a Crest one, and it's got a little red bar down there. So it's natural plus chemical composition, which we already knew it was chemical. So anyway.
So green is good because that's natural. Blue is natural plus meds.
You're right.
Red was
red
natural chemistry compositions, and black, stay away from it. That's the black box. We don't want, although you would think they'd make that one red.
Yeah, black, pure chemical, it said.
Wow.
And then it says be aware of products you use daily.
Oh, my gosh. Fortunately, I mean, a good thing is we're not swallowing it, but my God, it's still being absorbed.
Right.
Wow.
That's real.
Thanks for that, wake me up.
You know, the things we don't know, huh?
True. Ignorance is bliss.
I got an email, Nancy. And y'all probably have used it already. I haven't in a long time. I used to get their books, but just go to Rodale, RODALE.com. And they had very good information on it, how to make your own things instead of buying processed from crackers to tortillas and everything. And really, lots of things of like when you're sitting, working at a desk or whatever else for exercise. It was just a lot. It's a lot like it's got a good video going with it too. Have y'all ever used that website?
No.
I guess your email.
Try it.
Yeah.
Rodale, RODALE.com. I used to buy their books because they all had lots of good information in it.
Well, isn't that prevention? Isn't that tied to prevention?
I think it is. It's one of those companies because I used to always get their advertisement books, and I bought different ones of their books at different times. And I believe it is, Shauna. I was trying to think earlier. I thought, gosh, I haven't heard of Rodale in a while. So maybe it's all on their website.
Isn't that Rodale Press the same?
I imagine it is.
Yeah.
It has to be all the whole same thing, you know. But anyway, they've got a good website. I'd like to hear what y'all think about it if you ever had time to look at it.
It's on my list.
Okay.
Thank you.
It is.
Anyone else? There was an article in our paper that really, actually I even had Marty read the whole thing so that hopefully he could understand where we are coming from. And I'm just going to go through, like from the beginning of it. Here we go. The title of it is, and it's on, you know, from a Tuesday thing, which they stopped publishing. You can get to it online only now, since our newspaper has gone to 3+1 days. The rest of it's online. I have not figured out how to get to it on Tuesdays, but whatever. Get to the emotional roots of unhealthy eating habits. And I just want to go through because I think it's really important to hear. They did it concisely and really well. Happiness is a warm cookie. You know, when you think about kids growing up, whether it was us as children, us raising children, us involved with grandchildren, Happiness is a warm cookie. You just walk in a house that's baking cookies and you just inhale the aroma, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, some of us might remember that bit of Snoopy wisdom via the cartoonist Charlie Schulz. Others know just how deceptive and damaging that saying can be, whether their, quote, cookie is a brownie, a slice of pie, or a hunk of chocolate. And they have the extra weight or mental obsession, or both, to show for it. When people lose weight over and over again, and only to regain it, there's likely an emotional reason that needs to be addressed. But sometimes that reason isn't obvious to the conscious mind. Brain chemistry can also play a part. Sugar affects dopamine receptors in the same way that cocaine does. And regular hits create an ingrained habit. Let me repeat that, because to me this is just so key to what people, me, other people deal with. Sugar affects dopamine receptors in the same way that cocaine does. And regular hits create an ingrained habit. And to me it just keeps... I want more, I want more, I want more, because your body's not getting what it needs. Anyway, a new six-week program called Trim Life at the Cleveland Clinic Center for Integrative Medicine is offering a way to bring out what's fueling a person's need to eat past satiety, or what drives their compulsion to seek foods, especially sweet carbs and fatty foods, as a treat or sedative. As a treat or sedative. Interesting terms. We are trying to find the underlying issues of why we continue to eat when we are not hungry and why a person has an unhealthy relationship with food. Since it's emotional, not physical, hunger that is behind the urge to overeat, hypnotherapy, which some describe as a form of deep meditation, can be the most helpful route to get there. And the doctor, whom I have heard many times over the years, the one thing I remember years ago, I went to hear her talk about something, and she literally said, farm-raised salmon is better than wild. And I thought, what are you talking about? Even then I knew that she was wrong. But otherwise, she's really has been very strong into integrative medicine and this kind of stuff. So, I think she's okay. Anyway, she was developing this Trim Life program. She recalled being a freckled 5-year-old in pigtails during her meditation. That was how old she was when her parents announced they were getting divorced. I didn't want to stress my mom out. She was going to be moving us to a different state. I loved my father and worshipped him, but I wanted to be a good girl. The next image that came up for her was, quote, a big plate of iced animal-shaped cookies. I'd eat one, and then everything was fine. Except it wasn't. I have had an issue with cookies my entire life, she says. They have been a trigger for me, but I never thought about why until I did this. Trim Life was in the pilot phase just a year ago, but because of its quick success, several classes are now being offered regularly at the clinic, and there are plans to expand further. The program was designed by this doctor and Diane Zimbaroff of Wellness Institute of Issaquah, Washington. Up your way, Char. The goal, she explains, is to help participants reduce stress eating and abandon yo-yo dieting to overcome an addiction to food. This is done by teaching them mindfulness, relaxation, and yoga techniques. Those techniques, she explains, get at the blocks that we are so adept at using, so that we don't remember painful experiences. She and her staff also do blood workups to see if participants have other medical problems that connect to or complicate their weight and food issues. It's a physician-run group with a psychotherapist/hypnotherapist. Each week there is a 3-hour session where class members explore the feelings and history that might be promoting their unhealthy behavior with food. Hypnotherapy, provided under the guidance of psychotherapists, and they give the person's name, is used for a portion of the session to create a negative association with binge eating and help group members eliminate the desire for foods that aren't good for them. The program is covered by many insurance plans, although there's a one-time $40 charge for the workbook and CD recordings that assist with meditation and provide affirmations, visualization techniques, and tools for relaxation. If you don't have insurance, the cost is $350 for each of the six classes. Now that, to me, sounds $350 times six. Anyway, they mentioned somebody who described herself as a former yo-yo dieter. She's been retired for 23 years and is an active community volunteer. I ate well and exercised frequently, she said, but I couldn't make progress. She gained 5 pounds, lose 10, gained 12, and so on. Trying every program from Jenny Craig to Weight Watchers. Last fall, she joined the 12-step food addiction recovery group and lost 40 pounds and after giving up sugar and flour. The program didn't allow for sharing at meetings, though, until after 90 days of abstinence. I learned a lot about following a simple pattern of eating, she says, who stuck with it, but the process brought up a lot of childhood issues, and right when I was close to 90 days, I would sabotage myself. Anybody else do sabotaging work on themselves? I know I have. I realized there was something I didn't want to share about my food issues in a public forum. When she heard about Trim Life from a friend, she thought it would be a way to dig deeper emotionally. I knew I used food to soothe myself, she says. Going through hypnotherapy triggered memories of how her family used food as a way to punish and reward behavior. Anybody else have that experience? I also remembered being a kid and watching my mom and dad have dinner parties, and we couldn't be there or eat the food. Interesting. So now I might be a progressive field, which is our baseball field, and everyone is eating, and it makes me want to eat, too, even though I've already had a meal. 7 months after she lost 40 pounds, she hasn't gained it back. She hasn't gained back a pound. Since Trim Life doesn't offer a food plan, per se, she still uses a 12-step groups plan. Keeping the weight off is something she attributes to the inner work she did and the relaxation meditation she incorporates into her daily life now. That was critical to helping me become calm and not reactive. Cortisol is a stress hormone that creates belly fat and
London Walsh.
That calmness in my life now has made a huge difference. Another person, a yoga therapist, is fit and not overweight, but she knew she had a food obsession that was making her feel unwell. I was a sugar addict, she says, drawn to any dessert that incorporated whipped cream or buttercream. This was causing some physical problems. My cholesterol was up, and I was tired and not feeling good. I wanted to do something about the sugar cravings. Last year, she came across a flyer for Trim Life, which was not advertised as a weight loss program. It said it was about changing behavior, and that jumped out at me. She was a lifelong member of Weight Watchers and had no trouble keeping weight off, but it never addressed the cravings, she said, and Weight Watchers desserts are sweeter than anything. As she was going through the Trim Life program, she first learned the connection between sugar and the brain's pleasure receptors. She also realized through her meditations that she associated food with the comfort of childhood. Until I was 13, I lived in Czechoslovakia, and my earliest food memory is being with my grandmother and great-aunt and my sister at a sweets shop. Every dessert was filled with whipped cream, and I felt safe and happy and loved. That association was set for me. I realized I was creating and feeling whatever I was creating and that feeling whenever I had dessert. And if she ever felt a lack of love, she looked for comfort in those sweets. After the first class, this woman went home and listened to the CD she'd been given. She was comfortable with it because she was already doing meditation through her yoga practice. I fell asleep to that CD, she says, and I have not had a bite of anything with sugar or flour since that day in March. I know now that having even a little will trigger cravings. Instead, whole fruit is the sweetest thing she eats, and not too much of that. Though she didn't need to lose pounds, her clothes are fitting more loosely. The doctor says many people who have completed Trim Life have had similarly transformational experiences. Some have lost significant weight. Others have just radically changed the way they eat. The clinic is hiring additional holistic psychotherapists to offer the program to more patients. This woman above describes what she learned this way. I realized I don't need those sweets anymore. I had my great aunt and grandmother's love, and I can still feel it now. Comments? Thoughts?
Sounds good.
Wow.
I wonder. Think just so concisely put together what we've talked about many times.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bits and pieces of it we've talked about, and here they just kind of grabbed it on. An
emotional eating field.
I'm sorry?
I said I've always realized that mine's an emotional eating.
Recently, I think it was on Oz, there was somebody on, I don't remember who it was, and listed, I thought it was five, maybe four different reasons that we eat, one of which was emotional, which I think is probably one of the most common reasons we eat. And, you know, the younger we are when we set that emotion and tie with food and the emotions that go with it, the more challenging it is for us to address as adults of what we're doing because it's so deep-seated.
And it's the least covered, I think, also.
Probably. I remember, and I probably have mentioned this before, in the 70s, Marty and I took a 40-hour program, and the guy who was giving the program was a PhD psychologist. He developed the whole program. And he always said, give me any child up to the age of 7, and I'll give you back anything you want. So if you know, I'm just thinking this now after reading the article again, if you give a 5-year-old, as this woman who went to the sweet shop with her grandmother and great aunt or whatever, and reinforce this on a continuing basis, it's setting something almost in cement in your mind, love is sweet. And I know when I was raising my children, having had a weight problem, I tried desperately to not do things like that. So it would be interesting,
you know,
to hear my kid go through these hypnotherapy and what would come up from their childhood that I was totally unaware of what I was doing.
You know, Nancy, now that you mention it, which I haven't referred back to for years, in the 70s, we went through one. It wasn't 70 hours, but it was an intense weekend where we stayed, and it was a business. It was for, Denny's Associates got together and set it up, and besides the food being an issue, there was actually more emphasis put on how the brain was working, and one of the things they dealt with, and we had in our home, two situations with bedwetting with children. Oh. And that was addressed. I mean, he says, come up afterwards and talk to me. You know, he addressed it and said it lightly and then said, come up and talk to me. And we did and applied it and guess what? It worked.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all done with the emotional trauma that had taken place or had... We didn't necessarily even get to the bottom of the trauma because we didn't have that information available to us. But we used the tactics to change it. And it was through how we programmed their brains at night when they went to sleep.
That's what it is, programming the brain.
And it was, you know, we had no idea at the time. I mean, in fact, you know, some of the people just laughed like, this guy's weird, you know, he's out of sight, there's no way. And I said, well, you know, I'll do anything. I'll try anything. And it was a truth.
Yeah, it is programming the brain, whether it's with good stuff or bad stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, the brain is really powerful.
You know, it reminds me, this morning there was a... something on one of the morning programs that was about a guy going, that's like a black belt person that was a trainer and all that kind of stuff. And he was going into a hospital, and I don't even know what hospital they were talking about. But he was working with the children in that hospital that were going through traumatic
issues at that point, whether it was cancer and chemotherapy or whatever. And so he had these classes for these kids and taught them how to cope with things. He did meditation, and within a short period of time, they found that these kids were using the meditations to get through some of their chemo sessions and everything that they had to deal with within the hospital, and what a difference it made in their approach and how they could handle the pain and everything else that they were dealing with. So I think that takes us back to that same thing as far as putting things in your brain that are going to work, that are going to help.
You know, one other thing, if you finished, I'm not trying to jump in too soon here.
Yeah, no, I'm done.
One of the other thoughts that came to me that is another connection to what we talk about, in other instances when I was in this seminar was that, if we could go back and ask of the ancestry, we would find that it was genetically in there is what it would appear to be, but actually it was environmentally induced and there was nothing wrong in the body nor genes that were showing, but it was just something that was like anything else passed down because it was genetic, and I mean it was not genetic, but it was environmental and not even knowingly. I mean, it's not like a habit of eating food. And so we were able to go back on one of them and check, and sure enough, it was in, you know, two generations back, or skipped a generation, actually, is what I should say. But the grandparents had an issue, one of them, we know for sure. We don't know whether there was any more or not, with the same instance of bedwetting. And yet it was something that was not that common, especially at that age when they were just preteens. Well, no, not preteens, but a little before that maybe. But it had gone on for years, you know, and never straightened itself out until we found out and we addressed it and worked with it. And so, you know, the things that you think are this or caused by that, you know, don't necessarily pan out. But they are still there beforehand, misconstrued if it's even discovered. And this would have been one, of course, that would have been kept quiet. You know, you don't run around talking about that. Usually, people don't. So, just you know, more thoughts on the same subject, but more reasons behind it or connections that you never, you know, may not surface unless you go digging.
Visualization, which again I learned through this program in the 70s, and a very old book from that time is Getting Well Again by O. Carl Simonton, where he literally taught patients who had cancer to visualize, and at that time it was the Pac-Man, and it's a phenomenal book. I remember when my father was battling lung cancer at the time, I bought that book and read it several times. I think I also got it on tape and shared it with other people going through the same experience. But Simonton had patients who literally eradicated their cancer through visualization. And there have been many times that I have visualized either for myself or I've even done it with my kids when they were sleeping.
I've got a whole session on a 30-minute session, you know, compiled. That he used not that long ago, and it was Create Your Vision.
Yeah.
That was, I think, the title of it. And he went into examples in his message that he delivered for, you know, I don't know how many times he does it. It's like, well, it's repeated several times during the week, but in his own congregation there in Houston, he did it, and he said, you know, if you guys aren't utilizing these, don't expect these things to happen to you without having a vision, and he went beyond just the affirmations and all of that. He says the stronger is that you have a physical visualization, a physical thing that you put it to when it's prominent in your life. And he used the example of a couple that had never been able to conceive a child. And 20 years later, the husband gets a sample of diapers in the mail, and he goes, okay, this is my visualization. It's going to sit in front of us every day. We're going to see the diapers for our unborn child sitting there. And guess what? It happened. You know, call it coincidence, but 20 years later, give me a break. You know, that's unreal.
I remember,
and
see it as yours. Whether it's
yes.
a trim, healthy body, whether yep. it's a, you know, free of disease body, even sports people, somebody who plays golf or is a baseball player, and they spent hours visualizing their body going through the motions, and it makes them a better player. So, something to consider adding to your repertoire if you feel like you need some help.
Thank you,
you
Nancy.
Said the book
Why
was
we
creating your vision? By who?
The book? I don't know what the book. Nancy.
I don't know that book. Oh, the Carl Simonton Getting Well Again. I believe, you know, it's been many years since I've read it. I believe teaches you how to visualize. You literally, the best time to do it is when you're going to sleep. Or just, you have to relax during the day if you're going to sit, you have to sit down and close your eyes and relax. And just visualize whatever it is as if it's yours. If it's a slim, trim, healthy body, just visualize and put as much into it as you can as far as being very explicit what you want it to be.
And when I was doing it with the children for bedwetting, in case anybody knows of anyone that's got one situation like that, what I had to do was kneel down beside their bed and just whisper very low, I like waking up dry. I like waking up dry.
You can, even do it from another city, Cher.
Oh, yeah. Could, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I meant, in my situation, it was two of them in our home.
One of my kids used to have a friend of mine, her son had, I think, nasal warts or something. And I said, when you're going to sleep, visualize the nasal passage clear. You don't have to tell him. You don't have to do it. Just do it. And it cleared up. So you can be across the country. You don't have to be, you know, it reminds me of stuff that Wei does, but you just mentally communicate with this person.
It's a transfer of energy. And
exactly.
It's, you know, not hands transfer.
Everything's energy.
Yep.
Well, what I was thinking about, the reason I asked if it was the book, I just spent the weekend with my close friend in Corpus Christi, and she has really bad cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, I saw lots of books in her house there, you know, on fighting cancer. She's known she's had it for a while. But I just wondered if this would work, creating your vision for
Carl Simonton, Getting Well Again. If you do want to. Getting Well Again by O. Carl Simonton.
Getting Well Again, but what's the person's name?
O. Carl. I can't believe I remember this after the 70s. Simonton, Simonton, I think.
They utilize that a lot down in West Palm Beach. Hippocrates. Yeah, I know that for a fact. When you start reading their material, that's a big part of the people that are down there assisting and doing the training and so forth. And
I'm Getting Well Again, and the name of the man was O something?
O. Simonton? Carl. Carl. O. The first letter is O.
I can understand that. The next part I didn't. Carl, C-A-R-L?
I think so.
Okay, and then Simonton, right?
S-I-M-O-N.
Okay.
O-N, maybe, or T-O-N, maybe. Okay, and another one is, oh my gosh, what's the guy from Yale? I loved him, and I met him. He was here speaking years ago, and I said to Marty, I've got to go hear him. And afterwards, I went up to him, and he shook my hand. I can still feel the warmth of that handshake.
That's right.
In my mind, I think right now what his name is. These are the beginners. Yeah, these were the ones who started all this in the early 70s, probably. And it's evolved.
Which the Asians had probably been doing for years.
Yeah. You know, it goes along with meditation, but it's a little bit like a fork in the road to me. You know, it allows you to reprogram your mind if that's what you want to do. The mind.
The guy's name is Simonton.
Thank you. That's what I thought, yeah.
Say that again. I don't know why I'm having trouble hearing, but I don't know.
Okay, the word Simon. Yeah, the word Simon, Simon, and then Ton.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a good week, everybody.
You too. Anybody else have any last minute? We are past time for a change. But I appreciate you.
Great info, Nancy. Thank you.
I appreciate everybody participating and giving feedback. Have a great day, everybody. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks,
Nancy.
Well,
to learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.